We're delighted you're here today. I told you in the text I sent out that we're going to talk about covenant, understanding your covenant with God. It's a great study, and it's a series. With no way we can finish it today. It's such an in-depth subject. We'll just kind of take it a bite at a time, and we'll get a good start on it today. But understanding covenant. Everybody say covenant.
Covenant.
Understanding covenant, one of the most important subjects, in my opinion, concerning the Word of God. Do you know that the only reason that you are going to heaven is a result of a covenant that was made over 2,000 years ago? Yeah. The only reason that salvation has been made available to us, or healing, the multiple blessings, prosperity, is all a result of a covenant that was made by Jesus Christ with God. The Bible is a book of covenant. Genesis 17:7. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. Skip over with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Paul begins to explain to us Gentiles how we got into this thing. Because the original covenant that I just read you between Abraham and God was for the Jewish people. But since Jesus Christ came, fulfilled the old covenant, He's now instituted a new covenant, which has opened it up to all human beings, not just the nation of Israel. So how did we get into this? Listen, Paul is just trying to explain, and he says, now therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, and you were called uncircumcised by those who call themselves circumcision, those circumcision done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, and listen to what he says, and you were foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Abby was just singing about that. How important, how powerful the blood. Anytime, let me just stop here and say this. Anytime you read about blood, the blood of Christ, you're talking covenant. I want you to start thinking covenant over the next several weeks. And we'll explain and show you why it's so important. By the way, I believe Abby could preach, don't y'all? I like it when she gets fired up. I'm like, sick them, go get them. Yeah, I believe she could preach if she wanted to. We may have to give her a chance, pull that out of her. But we've been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one. Two what? Two nations, the two Israel and the church. He's made the two of us one. And he's destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. That's the old covenant. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. Now he came and he preached peace to you who were far away, Gentiles, and he preached peace to those who were near, the Jewish people. For through him we now both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and with Jesus Christ himself as that chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Go to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. I'm going to read this out of the Message translation. It says, "But Jesus' priestly work far surpasses what the other priests do, since Jesus is working from a far better covenant, a far better plan. For if the first plan, the old covenant, had worked out, then a second wouldn't have been needed. But we know that the first covenant was found wanting, because God said, 'Heads up, the days are coming when I'll set up a new covenant for the dealing with Israel and Judah. I'll throw out the old covenant, the old plan I set up with their ancestors when I led them by the hand out of Egypt. They didn't keep their part of the bargain, so I looked away and just let it go. This new plan, this new covenant I'm making with Israel isn't going to be written on paper, isn't going to be chiseled in stone. This time, I'm going to write the plan in them, carving it on the lining of their hearts. I'll be their God. They'll be my people, and they won't go to school. They won't have to go to school to learn about me or buy a book called God in Five Easy Lessons. They'll all get to know me firsthand, the little and the big, the small and the great. They'll get to know me by being kindly forgiven, with the slate of their sins forever wiped clean, by coming up with this new plan, a new covenant between God and his people. God put the old plan on the shelf, and there it stays, gathering dust." So, when we talk about covenant, and I would encourage you to bring your Bible to church. I think when we are going through the scriptures, we've so spoiled us all that we don't even look up scriptures in the Bible anymore. We just read it off the screen. But you need to become familiar with this book, because this is a covenant book. And we all know that the Bible is basically two primary covenants. You've got the Old Covenant, which is the thickest part. It represents about two-thirds of your Bible. And then the skinny part, the one-third, is the covenant that you and I operate under. Now, the reason I emphasize that is it is really, it's hard to apply the Old Covenant to our walk with God today. And I'll tell you why a little later. Just let me talk a little bit about covenant, lay some foundation, and then we'll clear it up as this study goes on. But you and I are not under the old covenant. It's good. It's good covenant, and it's righteous, and it's good. It's just too tough. We can't do the old covenant. It's got so many rules and regulations that you or me cannot keep them. You and I can't keep them. And the problem with the old covenant is if you can't keep one, if you break just one of the rules, then you've broken them all. So we can't do it. So the old covenant, and that's why Hebrews, whoever the writer of Hebrews was, we're not really sure, we think it was Paul, but whoever wrote that said, now the old covenant has been put on the shelf. Today, we operate under a brand new agreement with God called the New Covenant. And it's the skinny part. It's the New Testament. Old Testament, New Testament, Old Covenant, New Covenant. And when we understand that this book is a book of covenant, then it kind of takes on a new light when we read the Bible. And you say, well, what is a covenant? Well, the word covenant comes from a Hebrew word. It's berith, B-E-R-I-T-H. And berith, which basically means to cut. When we use the word covenant in the Hebrew language, it actually means to cut. Making a covenant in the Old Testament involved the custom of cutting or dividing an animal in half into two, laying it on the ground, and then two people would walk around in a figure eight. It's an awesome custom, and we're going to go over the steps of a covenant, not next Sunday, but possibly the following time I teach. And it's a fun day because you'll learn so much. All of a sudden, the Bible just comes to life because it's a covenant book. And when you study covenant, then it starts to make sense. But anyway, the word berith, covenant, means to cut. And it always involves blood, bloodshed. And that's why it's important that we understand the blood of Jesus, because it's the blood of the new covenant. He said, I give my life, I shed my blood to institute a new covenant with you. And that was required. No covenant's made without a cutting. You guys, most of you guys are way too young to remember this, but when I was growing up, Pastor Gary was growing up, we used to watch TV, black and white, we used to watch TV, Cowboys and Indians. And the Indians, I just love the Indians on those old TV programs because they would talk about blood brother. We are blood brother. And then they'd show their wrist. And on their wrist would be a cut mark. And what you used to do, you know, we watched them on TV. They'd take a knife and slice their wrist. And this guy would slice his wrist. And then they put them together and mix blood. Now we become one. Y'all don't even remember that. Y'all are so young. I feel so sorry for you. Y'all miss some of the best movies and the best TV ever. So anyway, blood brother, we are now one. Okay. So then when they would finish, they would take charcoal out of the campfire and rub it in that wound, which would stain the scar forever. It would remain, you just have this big black mark on your arm. So, which meant when you walk up to a guy and you shake hands, which comes from the covenant, when you shake hands, you see on his wrist, he's got a mark. That tells you what? This man's in covenant with somebody. So if I pick on him, I'm picking on, and his big brothers, his new friends might be a whole lot bigger than me, so be careful, you know. So blood brother, this covenant thing goes way back, and it even got into our history as well. My little brother and I decided, and we had two or three cousins that lived around us, and so we all decided that we were all going to become blood brother. We're going to become one. So I got my dad's pocket knife. I snuck it out of his drawer. We went out in the woods, and we're out there, and I said, all right, here's what we got to do. According to the rules, you got to, you don't cut your artery. You just make a little cut to where it bleeds, you know. So, I mean, it's not like a butcher knife or a chainsaw. You just kind of, you know. So we're out there, and we're taking the knife of his blade, and we're going, ouch. It ain't bleeding yet. Go deeper. Yeah, you know, so finally you'd get a little bit of blood. So now you got to have more than that. You know, I'm telling my little brother, go deeper. He said, well, you didn't go. I said, just go deeper. My cousins, they're over there watching us. And so we all cut our wrist. We all put them together and we mix blood. We go through a ceremony. We saw the Indians do it. We are now one. We're friends. Your enemy's my enemy. Your friend, my friend. So me and Larry and Barry, that was our cousin's name, and Ricky, my little brother, we cut covenant. Then we got to ashes out of the fire, and we rubbed them into those cuts. We were so proud. We were in covenant. We made a pact. I go in. My mom says, what is that on your wrist? I said, I am one. I am one with my cousin. She goes, that's going to get infected. Get in here. Some peroxide. You remember the orange stuff that burned real bad? What was that called? Methylate or something? Now, anyway, she washed my scar away, so now I am no longer one with my brothers. But anyway, you know, even in our movies, we saw covenant, and most of us didn't even recognize it. All of that was started back in Bible days. I mean, it's really cool. Genesis 15:7. God said to him, I am the Lord. I'm the one that brought you out of, and it's interesting that Abraham came all the way out of Iraq and Iran. that Mideast culture. But anyway, I am the Lord who took you from the Ur of the Chaldees to give you, and he's telling Abraham, I want to give you this piece of land. I'm going to give you this land as your heritage. Abraham said, oh, Lord God, how will I know? How am I going to be certain that it'll be mine? And it's interesting that God said, take a young cow of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a sheep of 3 years old, a dove and a young pigeon. Verse 10 says, all these Abraham took, cutting them. Remember Bereth? Covenant? Cutting them in two and putting one half opposite the other, but not the birds. Didn't cut the birds in two. Well, you might kind of picture it like me. I thought when they cut an animal in half, they just sawed it in the middle, laid the head over here and the rear end over there. No, they actually cut the animal right down the center. So you got a left half and a right half. And then the two people cutting covenant would walk in a figure eight, symbolically as we now, the two are becoming one. I always thought that was really cool. Now, God obviously didn't show up in physical form, but he sent a torch and a flaming torch, and Abraham walked around these pieces when God cut covenant with Abraham. So, you know, when you read the Bible, we go through it, we don't even pay attention to covenant. But the Bible is all about covenant. If you don't understand covenant, how in the world do you understand what we have in Christ today? Jeremiah 34, 18. Now, Israel had made a covenant with God. God said, I'm going to bless you. I'll make you the head and not the tail. You're going to be above and not beneath. Everything you touch will turn to gold. That's my wording. You know, you're just going to be blessed. And then he read the bad part, which are the curses of the covenant. If you break my law, then, you know, you'll have to suffer poverty and sickness and disease. And so all the Israelites said, yes, we will do it. They cut covenant with God, Israel, the whole nation. And, of course, they broke their promise. So then you read in Jeremiah 34, 18, God says, because you've broken the terms of our covenant, I will cut you apart just as you cut apart the calf when you walked between its halves to solemnize your vows. In the Bible, a covenant is a very strong, lifelong, everybody say lifelong, binding, solemn agreement. It's between two parties. Covenant means a coming together. And it's based, a covenant is based on relationship, and it includes from everybody involved commitments, promises, obligations, blessings and curses, and then they generally end. The last ritual of the covenant is a very simple meal of bread and wine. Immediately, something in your brain should have triggered, hey, that's what we do once a month. We take communion, bread and wine. Did you know that communion is simply you saying, I am in covenant with God? Every time I receive communion, I never do it lightly or haphazard or lighthearted. Every time I receive communion, it's always heavy to me. Not heavy bad, heavy good, but it's all, you know, I know there's something to communion. I think sometimes people just take it and it's out of tradition. They don't get anything out of it. But when we receive communion and next Sunday's communion, when you receive communion, you are actually saying publicly, yes, I am in covenant with God. Because this is the meal that signifies that I'm in covenant. And that's why Paul said, if you take communion unworthily, many have died sick, because Christians are just, no, listen, covenant's very serious. You're in covenant today. Now, you may not know it. You say, I come to church. I never heard this before. By the time we finish the series, you'll understand it. But when you receive communion, always receive it with this in the back of your mind. I am receiving the meal that seal the deal in covenant. It's a big deal. Okay, well, let's move on. Anyway, you got all of that going on, and the two parties would meet and make a covenant in the Bible, and then they are joined together and identified for their life. That's one of the reasons, and I was telling the early church, the early service in this church, that's why the church really teaches, you know, when we say we're against divorce, we're not against divorcees. We're against the act of divorce because really, when you think about it, and I'm not trying to, don't get mad at me, I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but when you think about it, divorce is simply breaking covenant. Because when a man and a woman come together, man and woman come together, and they say their vows, their promises, it's until death do us part. There ain't no room in, well, I've lived 52 years, I'm tired of you, I want to leave you and go back to mama. There ain't it. That's not in your covenant. You see, Americans, we're very cheap when it comes to covenant because we don't understand covenant. We don't understand the blessings and the curses when we make a covenant and then break it. We're like, well, it's my life, I do what I want to. Oh, sugar, you just signed up for something you don't want because you don't understand covenant. You've already broken the covenant. And as we go through the study, it's not going to be on divorce. I'm just mentioning this. When you get married, a man and a woman make a covenant for life till death do us part. That means you got to work through your problems. You can't throw up your hands and quit just because you can't get along. Everybody goes through that. Get off of this, Pastor. It's not the subject. Okay. So y'all get so quiet on me, I start getting worried. Ugh, you know. No. The fact is that most Christians, we don't even know that we're in covenant with God, and that's sad. Through Jesus Christ, of course, most Christians don't know what covenant is, nor do they understand its terms and its privileges. That brings us then to our Bible. That's why we have this book right here. Your Bible is simply a copy of your spiritual contract with God. That's all the Bible is. Now, it's got stories. I get that. It's got some poetry in there. It's got a lot of history. But really, in the New Testament, it is your spiritual contract with God that you agreed to the day you got saved. That's important for Christians to know because you don't agree to a contract and then do what you want. A contract's a contract with binding agreements, obligations, commitments, promises, blessings, cursings. It's not, well, I'm a Christian now, I can do whatever. No. That's because you don't understand covenant. You can't live any way you want to. You made a covenant with God to be His son or daughter, to reflect His nature, His character, to be Christ into this dark world. It's not that you can just become a Christian and live any way you want to. It's never listed in the covenant that way. Anyhow, okay, all right, y'all getting quiet again. Keep going, Pastor. Keep going. So your Bible is a spiritual contract. It's a copy of the covenant that God established with you through Jesus Christ. The day you said, I believe in Jesus Christ with all my heart, and you were saved, you were sucked in, I don't know of a better term, you were absorbed, pulled in to this new covenant with God. The day you got saved, you made a covenant with God. So now on, every dealing between God and man, it's all based on covenant. And the reason I say that is some people think that God does certain people favors. No, God doesn't do favors. He's no partiality with God. What He does for one, He must do for everybody. And our agreement is that God doesn't heal Pastor Sharon because, and not Pastor Gary, because I like Sharon better than I do Gary. It has nothing to do with that. It all has to do with our agreement. So hang on. Everything that we receive from God is based on the covenant. We've all known and recognized the Bible as a special book, but few Christians look at the book, this book, as a legal document. Too many people look at the Bible as just a collection of stories and history, and they don't understand the Bible is a covenant book, and it's revealing our legal stance with God. The Word of God's been given to us for the purpose of understanding our rights as God's children. It's our spiritual declaration of independence. Here in just a couple of days, this Thursday we're going to celebrate our country's independence. And there's a declaration. It's in Washington, D.C. It's under glass, protected in a special environment. Boy, that thing's important to our country. It's our Declaration of Independence. Hey, boys and girls, this is your Declaration of Independence. When you think about it, this book right here tells us about our kingdom rights, our kingdom privileges. It's a proclamation of our spiritual freedom. Our legal papers are here, our spiritual birthright and our citizenship. This is our papers. This is an important book. It'd do you good to become familiar with it. I think without knowledge of the covenant, we're living in ignorance. And we're living in the dark as to what God has done for us and what He will do for us. And because of our ignorance concerning the covenant, most of us are being cheated out of a lot of the blessings that God has in store for you. God's bought and paid for all these privileges for you, and you don't even know about it because you haven't read your document. Hosea 6:4, really important verse. It says, "My people are destroyed." My people, think of God saying this. "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." That's true. Another translation, the Message, says, "My people are ruined because they don't know what's right or true." The NIV translates that verse this way: "My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge." I heard a true story years ago. It was during the time when people were leaving Europe and they were trying to get to America. This is in America's new beginnings. Man, we were the country promised you can fulfill your dreams, come to America. People were leaving Europe like flies to get here. And back in the day, obviously, they had to take a boat, right? There's no jets and none of that quick travel. You get on a ship and you ride to America. I don't know how long it took, but this one guy wanted to come to America. He was poor. He saved. He worked. He saved up his money. He bought him a ticket on this boat, and he packed his little shirt and pants, whatever he had, and then he had some cheese and some bread to last him the whole, I don't know if it took 2 or 3 weeks. I forgot the length it took, but anyway, that whole trip took forever, to get here. And this old boy was, he got enough money to buy a ticket. He bought his ticket, he got on the boat, he's off to America. Man, he's nibbling on his cheese and his bread, and it's a 2 or 3 week journey. And so one day, he's sitting over in the corner, and he's eating his molded cheese and his old stale bread, and a steward comes by, and he says, "Sir, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm eating my lunch." He goes, "Man, that's molded cheese. That's stale bread." He goes, "It's all I got." He said, "I didn't have enough money to go to the galley and buy anything. I don't even have enough money to rent a bunk on the boat." The steward started laughing. He said, "You got to be kidding me." The guy says, "What's so funny about this?" And the steward said, "Listen, sir, when you bought the ticket included 3 hot meals a day and a bunk." As soon as I heard that story, I said, "That's us. That's us. We got drafted into this new covenant, and most of us are still eating moldy cheese and stale bread. And God said, 'Listen, I've supplied with you. When you got into this covenant, I've got a room. I've got all you need. I'm going to meet your needs. I'll take care of you. And we're eating stale bread.'" And I'm thinking, it's our own fault, because we have not studied our legal document that tells us exactly what God has provided for us. We can't believe God because we're living in ignorance. And so today I encourage you to read your Bible. Study this covenant. Study its built-in benefits. My goodness, let's don't go around eating any more moldy cheese and stale bread. Most Christians, I think it goes without saying, it's hard to tell how many hours a day we spend watching television, or worthless hours we do playing on the internet, or reading a silly novel that's not true. I'm not slamming you for that. I'm just saying Christians do that all the time, but they don't spend 1 hour a week studying the covenant and its benefits. You think of all the time you watch TV, played on the internet, read a book this week, that if you'd have translated that into study time, okay, it's getting quiet again. Let's go, Pastor. Let's go. We've got to go to lunch. Well, it'll serve you well. I will tell you this. It'll serve you well from now on to look at the Bible not as just a spiritual storybook, not as poetry. No. Let's look at it as our legal document. We need to know the covenant. We need to study the covenant terms. And you need to know where your promises are located in the covenant. I talk to Christians all the time. I know healing's in there somewhere. That's not good enough. To me, you need to go to page 1011, 2 Peter 2:24, and it says right here, by his stripes, I'm healed. That's a covenant promise. I think it's in there somewhere. No, where is it? Most of you couldn't tell us where the major doctrines are found. I believe in healing. Show me. No, Pastor, I can't do that. But I know it's in there. That's not good enough. Do I know God wants to bless us? Show me. Where does it say God meets all your needs? Oh, don't know. But I know it's in there. It's not good enough. You're missing out blessings because you don't know your covenant agreement. And so the Bible study takes on a whole new light now, doesn't it? So we study the Bible not to get feeling good. No, but to study our Bible so we know. When I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, the doctor gave me a report the other day. He said, he found cancer. So we're going to take care of cancer right now in Jesus' name. I'm going to enter into my covenant authority and privilege. And it says here that Jesus took the stripes on his body. By his stripes, I'm healed. You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals me. In other words, you become an attorney. A little bit of an attorney. You're not operating. I mean, an attorney don't go into a courtroom unprepared. He goes in with all of his information, all of his evidence. You know, you need to do that. You need to know this book as a legal book. This is your life. And yet most Christians can't turn to Psalm 119 without 30 minutes of searching. We got to change that. And so that's what this whole teaching will be about. There are two kinds of covenants, and I'll close with this, and then we'll pick up next week. We've got 12 minutes left. Two kinds of covenants we find in the Bible. One, there are those covenants made between God and man. Now, those are the important ones, and we'll look at these in depth as we go through the study. But over man's history, God has chosen certain individuals all through history to personally make a covenant with. So this type of covenant is between God and an individual. And you can read about them. I mean, I just read you one there that God made a covenant with Abraham. God made a covenant with Noah. What was the covenant with Noah? That his promise was in the covenant, I'll never flood the earth again with water. Pretty cool, huh? So the other day after a thunderstorm, the sun came out, major rainbow. I mean, this thing was awesome, brilliant. It wasn't one of those faint ones. This one was out there. And every time I see a rainbow, I think covenant. That's a covenant promise. And in every covenant, there's a memorial or a sign. And in Noah's covenant, the sign was the rainbow. I'll never flood the earth again with water. By the way, it's what circumcision is for the Hebrews. Circumcision is a physical sign that they're in covenant with God. God made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with David. Most recently, the important covenant was he made one with Jesus Christ, the man. And Jesus Christ represented all of us in that covenant. So today, when we believe in Christ, we are included in the covenant that Jesus made with God. So our covenant head, I have full confidence in Jesus keeping his end of the bargain, and I know God will keep his end of the bargain. And here's that covenant between Jesus, the man, and God, and that's why you and I receive benefits from this covenant, because of what Jesus did. So there's another example, covenant between God and man. Now the second kind of covenant is the covenant made between a man and a man. It could be a daddy and a daddy of another family. Those two fathers make covenant, and that means all their kids are in covenant, and all their grandchildren are in covenant, and all the children after the grandchildren are all in covenant with this particular family. It could be between a king and a king. Nation and nation could make covenants. The Bible's full of those stories. So when you read the Bible, from now on, look for the covenants, because the entire Bible's about covenant. And then it comes down to ours in the New Testament. It's interesting. It's awesome. Every party bound himself to fill certain conditions and certain advantages. So understanding that God is a covenant God, the book is a covenant book, you and I are a covenant people, all that is important. And then how God operates by covenant is really important. So our problem and our weakness as Westerners, as Americans, we just don't understand covenant. We don't talk a lot about covenant. We talk a lot about contracts. We don't talk about covenant. We understand contracts. I think probably all of us in this room are probably involved in some sort of a contract. You know, you go to buy a car, you sign papers. That's a contract. You go to the bank, borrow money, that's a contract. You understand that. But a covenant is different, because covenant is, first of all, relational. You have to know the person, like the person, before you cut covenant. Contract, you don't even have to know the guy. You just sign your life away. None of us ever read the fine print. We're just in there. We trust. Okay, you want to buy a car? Sign this. Okay. You just signed a contract. A binding contract. But in covenant, when you make covenant, it's made out of lifelong commitment. I like this person. I want to do business. You know, Sharon, we used to talk about marriage, and I'd say, well, it's a contract. For years, I'd say, it's a contract. She'd almost be offended. It's not a contract. Would you please stop saying marriage is a contract? You make it sound so legal. And I'm like, baby, it is. Because in marriage, here's the business side. You go to the altar. The first thing that happens legally is a name change. She took my last name, and that changed all of her documents. We also said we traded, and absorbed each other's assets and liabilities. When Sharon said yes, when I asked her if she'd marry me, when we stood at the altar, I liked the way she said it. She said it best. She said, what I have is mine, and what you have is mine. I'm like, I think I'm getting a sour end of the deal here. No, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. But that's what it is. It's a trade of assets and liabilities. If I owed student loans, and I did when we got married, she absorbed those. Whether she wanted to or not, she had to help me pay those things off. She worked a full-time job just like I did, and we took her money and my money and paid off student loans. Well, that's contract. So we all get contracts. But your marriage has to have more than a contractual conception to make it, right? Because contracts are not relational. Covenant, marriage is a covenant / contract. Because covenant says, I like you, I love you, and I want to live with you forever. Sharon said, now that's the way you talk about marriage. It's not a contract, it's a covenant. So I got it, baby. It took me 71 years, but I got it. So when you get married, and this is the thing we need to stress, according to the scripture, when you get married, you are making contract/covenant with another human being to stay with them forever and ever, work out your bad situations, good or bad, health or sickness, till death do us part. And I think the church is weakening on that teaching, because we're trying to flow with the world where everybody just gets mad and gets a divorce and runs home to mama. Listen, that's not a covenant. A covenant is a solemn agreement, commitment, lifelong, yeah, forever. And we need to think, when you're married, and I want to challenge you married folks, don't think of a marriage as temporary. It's not temporary, it's forever. Till death do us part. And when marriages break up, there's a lot of bad stuff that happens. Believe me, the curses are built in when you break covenant. And anyway, it's getting quiet again. All right, I'll keep going. So covenant is a big deal. I'll close with this. Covenant is a big deal. Understanding that the Bible is a copy of the covenant is a big deal. And all of our dealings with God are based on understanding covenant. Salvation is all a benefit of covenant. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't buy it. Salvation is a benefit of the covenant. I believe in Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall have eternal life. That's covenant. That's covenant promise. God says, if you believe in my Son, come on in. That's easy to do. There should be nobody that ever goes to hell. It's so easy to get saved, it's pathetic. Now, some churches teach you, you got to give your right leg and your firstborn. And no, God didn't do that. It's just, man, all of those blessings are written in the book. It's your birth certificate. It's your passport into heaven. It's your insurance policy. Sharon and I have a bank box, safety deposit box. We both have keys, and somebody at the bank has a key. You know how that works. And in that bank box down in Botetourt County, there are our birth certificates, originals, our original Social Security cards. These are important stuff. We've got a copy of life insurance policies. We've got a copy of our living will for our kids. All this stuff's important, legal documents. I mean, you wouldn't leave your living will laying out on the counter where your cat can run across and chew on it. Some of you need to get saved. I'm going to tell you that right now. You read way more into that than me. No, but anyway, you don't leave important documents out where your kids can spill milk on them. You put important documents up for safekeeping because they are your life. These are contracts that you've signed. These are important papers. And yet, we don't put that kind of importance on the very book that's going to save us in eternity. So I want to encourage you as we close today, I want you to start studying this as an attorney. Just for the next month, just do me a favor, for the next month, don't read it to get the warm and fuzzies. What I want you to read in the New Testament is read it as an attorney, because it is a legal agreement between you and God. Is that a deal? That's a good deal. How many of you do daily devotions? Well, just tackle it that way. Just say, well, listen, I'm going to do what Pastor Tony said. I'm going to look at the Bible as a legal document. I'm going to look at my promises, the benefits. I'm going to look at that. Yeah, I'm telling you, it takes on a whole new world. Understanding your covenant with God, that's what this series is all about.